America Weekend.
I am woman, hear me roar in numbers too.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Our next guest is a familiar face in both film and TV. She is also raising awareness of the lack of underrepresentation of women in positions of power within the film industry. One of the ways she is doing this is by hosting Trailblazing Women, Actresses Who Made a Difference, Tuesdays and Thursdays this month on Turner Classic Movies. It is great to say hello to Ileana Douglas. Ileana, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Nice to talk about our show, Trailblazing Women.
Yes.
It's our second season, and this is part of a 3-year initiative. Hopefully it goes more longer because I've had so much fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we concentrated on diversity and the history of female directors, the lack of female directors in Hollywood, and this year it's actually actresses that the social and historical contributions that these actresses have made, trailblazers, a lot of whom I don't think people realize. You know, Hedy Lamarr was
sure. An
inventor, of course, created secure military systems, and Myrna Loy gave up her career to support the Red Cross and was on the commission of the UNESCO Committee Against Discrimination. Betty Davis started the Hollywood Canteen. Marlena Dietrich, I could go on and on.
You know, we knew these names, and like you said, Hedy Lamarr, Myrna Loy, but we didn't know much about them offset. And you know, we knew a lot about male actors at that time. We knew Bob Hope was doing this and doing that all over the place for Troops, but
yeah.
We didn't know, and we never had a clue just how important these performers were when they were not performing. And it's really sad, and it amazes me how an industry that's always been at the forefront of supporting important social issues has lagged so far behind on the recognition and promotion of women within their own industry. That just boggles my mind.
Well, it does. And again, I think that what is important about the show is, again, we do this not as a history lesson, but in an incredibly entertaining way, so that it makes you want to go back after some of the discussions we're having about the films and about the actresses. It makes you want to go back and say, my goodness, I never knew that Marilyn Monroe actually was a producer.
Right.
And started producing her own films. I never knew that, you know.
Yeah.
And it makes you want to reinvestigate them, or, looking at some of these, it's over 40 actresses that we're going to talk about. But, you know, whether it's the co-hosts like Jane Fonda or Bette Midler, you know, looking at their career, looking at the activism, looking at all the things that they've done. And as I said, like some highlights for me, you know, just somebody like Shirley Temple, who was, you know, credited with generating hope and
mm-hmm.
optimism during the Depression. And then at 11 was handling licensing and merchandising deals, you know.
Sure.
Things she couldn't drive, but she was she did have a contract with Packard to endorse. I mean, she had hundreds and hundreds of endorsement deals, and then as her career waned, became the ambassador of Czechoslovakia. She was
Yeah. President
during the Spring Revolution, and I think it's incredible. We're sort of forgetting that there was a time. Again, not only when, actresses were prominent in films, but politicians were using them prominently in social roles
Yep.
or as ambassadors. Now it seems like that's narrowed where maybe, UNICEF, like to carry maybe the message of UNICEF because it's about children.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to imagine in today's context that an actress would be running the National Endowment of the Arts.
Exactly.
You know?
Sure. Now, as a woman and as a performer within the industry, this has to be tremendously reaffirming to you, and you've got to take a lot of satisfaction that you are playing such an important role in creating this awareness, to opening this door so that people want to learn more about these people, these names, these people that we just thought were actresses and turned out to be much, much more and had these important social contributions. So how does that make you feel that you are being so instrumental in making this happen?
I mean, I love it. We work hard every year, you know, as I said last year, you know, focusing on female directors and reminding people that, you know, women were directing films in 1896. It's just that most of them weren't saved, you know. We remember, you know, that Cecil B. DeMille made a lot of movies, but at the same time, women were directing. And as soon as it became a money-making operation, it's like, thank you very much. We're going to put you to the side.
Right.
And, I mean, I am, you know, I am an actress, and I want to have, you know, I have a great, my grandfather was Melvin Douglas.
Sure.
I have a great tie to classic films, and I love films. And I really do believe, I learn every year from doing the show. And so when we're doing the show, it reminds me, my God, what would we have done without Elizabeth Taylor,
mm-hmm.
who stepped up and became literally the face of AIDS and talked about it being her most important work that she had done over her entire career. And what I learned by this again and again is that actresses traditionally seem to use their fame as a platform. You know, if you're thinking of Barbara Streisand, you know, another person with
right.
millions of dollars in philanthropy. And it's always tough this year because we only have 1 month, so we have to narrow down. And I was mentioning, you know, I was disappointed that we couldn't use Helen Hayes, who was a huge advocate of the Girl Scouts. You know, so
right.
there's you know, First Lady of American Theater. But if we marginalize actresses, you know, we're just going to have less opportunities. Who are going to be our next role models,
mm-hmm.
you know, after these people? And so that's the question that we're going to ask currently. But then I also think that, you know, again, to have these moments like Bette Midler saying her whole beginning of her career was based on her modeling her act on Mae West and talking about Mae West, you know, that she was like the first liberated woman. She was sort of the Lady Gaga of her day, you know. And I think we need more, you know, we need more role models like that. Role models don't always have to be current. You know, they can be part of the historical
sure.
fabric of cinema. And I think it's just relearning some of these facts and having people get excited about them again.
Exactly.
You know?
Let's talk about behind the camera. You mentioned directors. You know, normally whenever a student of film takes a look at directors, they're presented with a bunch of male names. Now, it has to be, to this day, very frustrating for women who have the creativity and the talent to work in the shadow, still to a certain extent. I remember I was in a movie, I don't know, 5-6 years ago called The Extra Man, directed by an incredibly creative woman, Sherry Springer Berman. There has to be more Sherrys out there, but they can't get the chance. Is the tide turning where female directors are getting opportunities, where things are actually improving, or do we still have a lot of work to go in that respect?
I absolutely see that we have this moment where things are turning, yet it's always that when you're right on the, you know, as you know, and from sports,
right.
Always when you're right on the finishing line.
Sure.
The most, literally getting across the finishing line is the toughest part because, yes, there are these opportunities. But, again, doing my research, one of the things that I kind of came across was this idea of this backlash that began, you know, around 2000 with the romantic comedy
right.
and with calling films chick flicks and literally dividing the audience, saying, okay, this is a film for men, this is a film for women, and somehow we just need to get away from that and just understand that films are for all of us. We're supposed to go to the movies, you know, to want to see ourselves in the movies. I mean, me as someone who writes comedy, you know, some of these comic foibles. And so I think it's got to be a more unifying type of film. Those are the things that I, you know, that's universally popular to both men and women. But, you know, the door is open and the conversations are being had. But we're certainly, you know, we're not there yet. There's always the feeling, I think, that women have, that I have, that people read something you wrote. I mean, you know, I just wrote a book called I Blame Dennis Hopper, and I can't tell you how many times people said, "Now you wrote the whole book by yourself." It's like, yes, that's why my name is on it. So there's this shock that somehow an actress, a woman, could put two sentences together.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's 2016 and people are going to ask you, did you write the book yourself? I mean, come on, you know, and that's got to be so not just frustrating. It's got to be kind of infuriating, I would imagine, too.
Well, it's not infuriating. It's more like simmering infuriation because, you know, you're like, yeah, okay. And, you know, so you just learn. But I don't know if this is such a good thing either. It's like a Pavlovian response.
Right.
That you just get used to it. And maybe we shouldn't. You know, it's like, how dare you say that?
Ileana, stay with us. We're coming up on a network break. More with Ileana Douglas straight ahead. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
She is one of the most successful doubles players of all time, capturing 112 titles, including 21 Grand Slam wins with her partner, Martina Navratilova. So where is Pam Shriver now? Pam married former James Bond actor George Lazenby in 2002. The couple had three children, but divorced in 2008. Pam has been a commentator for ABC and CBS and is currently with ESPN. While broadcasting Wimbledon in 2010, player James Blake took exception to the volume of her courtside commentary.
I'm just surprised
James Blake has like a foot in.
James just yelled at me. I'm way above the court, but evidently he can hear me. He's got rabbit ears.
Quiet down, Pam. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Welcome to American Biker Minute 280 degree switchbacks. All but the most experienced wrenches detest having to wire a set of C-bars. Still, we're doubling the height and pullback of our old set. Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. After hours of staring at internet sites, we still couldn't find a true motorcycle Z-bar, other than those identical to what we have. JP Cycles catalog is a last resort. Found a good-looking set. Twice the rise, twice the pullback of a set we've been running for years. Just what the doctor ordered for a reasonable buck and a half. Tall, fresh Z-bars, along with the longer front fork tubes, will really set the chopper off. Build in progress at AmericanBikerMinute.com. American Biker Minute, your passport to the old road on two wheels.